From the Ozarks to the Delta, the River Valley to the Ouachitas, we are the natural state. You can find us floating down rivers and hiking to waterfalls. For us, deer season is a national holiday. We tip our caps, hold doors open for ladies, and wave at complete strangers. We root for home teams like Cyclones, Wampus Cats, Panthers, and Sand Lizards. We show up and tailgate for Purple Bears, Warriors, and Red Wolves. But we can all agree, everybody stands up when we call the Hogs. Our iced tea is always sweet, and our mama's food is the best you've ever tasted. Arkansas is a state that sometimes goes unnoticed, but we're unique and purposed by God. God is building a home here, and we all belong. We all have a place. This is our call. This is for His kingdom. This is the Arkansas God sees.
All right, man, if you love God, would you let Him know about it right now? Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. He is in this place. Yes, this series is family time. Very similar to if I invited you over to my home and we were to have supper together, and then we were to move into my living room, and I was able to talk to you and you were able to talk with me. Whatever that vibe is, we want to get as close to that as we possibly can, because we have something that God is calling us to do, and it is extremely intimidating, and there's no way to do it in a place of comfort. You have to do it in a place of faith, because God is not working on your comfort. He's working on your character. Can I have an amen on that? So I just want to encourage you that this particular talk, which is only going to be a short amount of time that I'm going to speak, because at the end, I'm going to show you something that I'm very excited about. In fact, I want to just go ahead and do it now. But we got to wait. And here's what I know. You have to be in on this with us. We never had a vision for half the people to do it. We do not have a vision for 75% of the people to say, yeah, I'll do my part. No, it's everyone, because we want to go to heaven, but we want to enjoy the process. And we have to yield to His Spirit. This word yield in the Bible, it's like a military term. It's like you standing in front of God saying, yes, sir, or whatever's next. Yes, sir. And the Christians that I see that are really enjoying this journey are the people that at some point they said, Lord, whatever's next, yes, sir, that's what I'll do. Now, let me just ask a question. How many of you, the way that you drive a car, that somehow the way you process, you're so organized, this is the OCD people of our church. When the tank gets to about a half a tank, you have to get fuel because you get your piece back. Would you raise your hand? Okay. All right, these are the crazy people at the church. Oh, I wish I was like them, but I can't. Okay, but how many of you, you're more like a quarter of a tank, you're just like a normal person, all right? But how many of you, you wait until it is empty? And don't raise your hands yet, I'm not finished. You wait until it's empty, and then the light comes on, and then wait, don't raise your hands, I'm not finished. That's not where you are on this. It's empty, the light comes on, and you know how many miles past that? Plus a few more. Raise your hand. Okay, I've seen some of you on the side of the road. I've seen you there. But what happens when your tank is empty, it seems like in that moment when you can't move, that everybody's going faster than they've ever gone. It's like nothing worse than having that wind hits you when somebody's like, don't take care about anybody around here. And I think that this is what happens to us spiritually. Some of you, your tank has been empty for a long time. And I want to talk to you about how to get it full again. Because the Lord has a huge plan for your life. I know that some of you have made mistakes. Let me tell you about a mistake Michelle made, because I'm more confident talking about her mistake. When we first started this church, my son, we moved here. We didn't know anybody here really, but just a family. Then we met another family. But my son was going around telling everybody he was the pastor's son because he was getting extra cookies in kids' ministry and it was working well for him. So Michelle, she's not going to put up with that. So she went over to him. She goes, are you going around telling everybody you're the pastor's son for extra cookies? And he said, yes, ma'am, and it's working. I got six of them last weekend. And she goes, that's not how we live, boy. You don't go around telling people you're the pastor's son. Your name is Tanner. You just tell them you're Tanner. And he said, yes, ma'am. Well, the next weekend, now remember, we're trying to have a good reputation. We're trying to do this right. The next weekend, a lady went up to him and said, aren't you the pastor's son? And he said, well, I thought I was, but my mom said I'm not. Okay, so we didn't grow much that first year. We didn't grow much. So you're going to make mistakes, but I want to remind you of something. This is the reason why we're doing this series. For the next 3 weekends, I'm going to be speaking to you about things that we have to do, moves that we need to make. Because there's a tendency for you to pray, Lord, move in my life. Lord, do something in my life. That's a great prayer, but theologically it's wrong. Because he's already made a move. It's your move. And this is the tendency, even for me. It's like, Lord, do something great. No, it's my move. How many of you know the cross was a major move to build a relationship with you? It's your move, and then he'll go with you. But it's your move. I remember reading, and I just want to show you this to you real quick. One day, the Lord is going to separate all the people who call him Christ. He's going to put the sheep on one side, and he's going to put the goats on the other side. This is all Bible, so I'm not condemning anybody here. I just want you to know, you want to be on the side with the sheep. I don't know why he has them on the right side. I have no idea why he has the goats on the left side. I think it doesn't matter. But he looks at him, and this is what he says. He says, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was lonely, you came to visit me. And when I was in prison, you came and saw me. And I just want to thank you for doing that. And then one of them is going to say, Lord, we don't remember visiting you in prison or feeding you when you were hungry. We don't remember you being thirsty. We don't even get it. And he says, oh, it was when you were doing it for the least of you. Like when somebody was hurting, you were doing it for me. Good job. Let's spend eternity together. That's going to be a good moment. Goats. He's going to look at them and he's going to say, hey, and he's going to love them. Please don't forget, he loves the goats. He's going to look at them and say, hey, when I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. And when I was hungry, you didn't give me anything to eat. And when I was in prison, you didn't come and visit me. And when I was lonely, you never knocked on my door. And they're going to interrupt him and say, Lord, we don't ever remember rejecting you like that. We don't remember you being thirsty and for us not to give you something to drink, or hungry. We don't remember you being in prison. What are you talking about? And he's going to say, it was when you didn't do it for one another. You were not doing it for me. Away from me. I just want you to know there's going to be a major tendency for you to want to think about your little life, the little walls that you live around, and your little group, and you're going to forget the harvest. This is a major tendency, and we move that way. And as a pastor, I just want you to know, I get so encouraged. Like, I'm so thankful that God allows me to be a part of this church. But as a pastor, when I see people making decisions for Christ, it is one of the most encouraging things. Do you know we've had 70,000 decisions for Christ in the last 15 years? That's a great place to say, what? I mean, it is true. Over 30,000 baptisms. I love it when I preach the word and I see, I remember 15 years ago, there was a lot of people that you could tell they wanted you to water down the word. You could sense it when you would speak. Like, don't hit too hard, just water it down. We didn't water it down, but this is what you could tell. Not now. Now, when people come to church, I can see it in your eyes right now. You come to church now and it's like, please teach me the truth, because I cannot go home the way that I came. I have to be rescued. Tell me the word. I love, as a pastor, seeing the hearts of people wanting and craving the word. I love it when we take communion together and the way you do the reflection time, like you search and seek after the things of God and try to find if there's anybody you need to forgive, if there's any strife inside of you or anger, if there's anything inside of you that is unlike the Lord. I love those moments. I love it when I see the Holy Spirit messing with you during church. Like just reading your mail, like all over you. I love it because the Holy Spirit never brings up stuff that's weak in your life to leave you there to die. It's always to bring you to the Father. It's condemnation that brings it up to kill you. But the Holy Spirit is the one who brings truth and comfort. Can I have an amen on that? I love it. I love it when I hear that you guys get involved in life groups. Yes, we have a larger church, but we want to grow smaller, not larger. We're probably going to grow larger, but we got to grow smaller. We have to be in relationships. I got a text this week. Every week I get emails and text. There was one man, he had a business meeting, and he's really worried about it, so he told his small group, and he said they were all praying at the exact time, and I just love it when I see that you guys are fighting for relationships. I love it when you get in front of the Lord, and you just say, Lord, I give you my hands and my feet, whatever it is that you want to do. I'm willing to serve you. There was one man in the foyer of the church right after church. This happened about 1 month ago. And he came to me. He was standing right beside me, kind of a good old boy type boy. And I'm standing there greeting different people. And finally, I just said, hey, how you doing? And he said, I just want you to know I ain't ever going to raise my hands in church during worship. And I was like, I mean, that was the first thing he ever said to me. And I was like, well, that's fine, bro. You don't have to, that's totally good. In fact, it's not even God's favorite way to worship. And he goes, well, tell me more about that. I don't know what you mean. I said, well, the Bible says that he's seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And this is the kind, he's also looking out throughout the whole world trying to find people that are fully devoted followers of his. So what he's looking for is not your hands, but your heart. And he looked at me, he goes, wow, I don't even know if I do that either. And I said, I promise you, here's the problem. If you give him your heart, you may give him your hands. And he goes, ain't no way. So last week we had the woman conference. He was here with his hat on. And he came over to me and he said, I did it. I didn't recognize him at first. It's just some guy came over. I did it. It's like, what'd you do, bro? You know? He said, I did it. And I said, what'd you do? He said, I gave him my hand. I said, oh, you're the guy. Yep. He said, when did you do it? He said, just now. I said, at the woman conference? You couldn't wait for the men's conference? He goes, no, I did it. I only gave him one hand, though, not the other one. And I said, bro, I just appreciate your heart. Don't be surprised now. If he asks for your feet and your hands, not in worship, but like in service, like what you're doing here to serve at Woman. And he said, you know what? I'm kind of looking at it that way now. Listen, you cannot outgive God. He's stirring our hearts up. There's some things that he wants to do inside of us, and someone has to be usable. Are you usable? You know, I remember reading, I was actually watching on Discovery Channel, I went and looked at it. There's these tribes of Indians that they're still finding in the Amazon. And one of them, they had never known that they were there, and they found them. And when they went over there and studied them, there was this one lady there that trained these monkeys on how to sweep and how to serve and how to do menial tasks. And I remember when I was watching, I was saying, man, if I wasn't empty nest and my kids were still home, I'd just, you see that? If they can get a monkey to do that in the Amazon, that's what I was thinking. I used to tell my kids, if they can get a whale to jump through a hoop at SeaWorld, you can take out the garbage. That's what I used to tell them. But what was happening is that they were just willing. They were usable, so they used these monkeys. It was amazing. Here's my question to you. Are you usable? Like, are you willing for him to use you, to call you, to train you? There's three things that the church is asked to do in the Bible. Number one, to win the lost. Number two, to pray. And number three, to disciple other people. And I just want to ask you, are you usable? Because the Bible says in Matthew 9:37, The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers, that's the workers, the ones that are usable, like, hey, here are my hands, they're few. Like, there's just not many. This is what the Lord is saying. He's saying, man, the harvest is so big. We got so much to do, but I don't have that many people doing anything. This is precisely what I could say as a pastor. I mean, we have a huge number of people saying, here I am, I'll do something, but there's a significant group that they're not willing to labor. So I thought of this verse in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4. This passage of scripture, it's going to take me a little while to read it, but I've decided to read it because it's just so powerful. And raise your hand if you ever heard of Moses. Raise your hand if you ever heard of the burning bush. This is where we are. Okay? It says in Exodus 3, verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Sometimes I think we forget where the Lord is asking us to go. It's a holy decision, like to go over there. And he said, this is holy ground. He said, I am the God, that's the article, the God of our father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Have you ever been afraid, like, to do something with the Lord? I know I have. And the Lord said, and look at this, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard, so first he sees, then he hears, I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. This is very interesting to me. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Could you look here for a minute? God is saying, I've seen it. I've seen the pain. I've heard the pain. I've felt the pain. Now you go. Because the Lord will never do the work. He equips the saints for the work of the ministry. And this is what the Lord is asking, for you to do it. Yes, he's the one who's really doing it, but he's using vessels and willing vessels like you. Moses was living the comfort life. He was like, had a family. Everything was going great. He'd already left comfort once, so he's got it back again. He's just enjoying everything that's happening. This is when it's hard for us to say, yes, sir, I'll go. And the Lord said, come on. I want to use you. There was one particular time where God says, what's in your hand, Moses? What's in your hand? He said, it's a stick. And he said, well, give it to me. And he threw it down. A lot of times before God will allow to happen what's in your heart, he first wants to know what's in your hand. Like, are you willing to use what's in your hand? Are you willing to do anything? And this is what's happening with Moses. Listen, here's what I know. God has asked us to build a church. And then 50 campuses all over. It's 50 churches. We can call them anything we want, but they're churches. But I'm going to tell you right now, I cannot get excited about brick and mortar. And but it's part of it. The Bible, when the Bible says church, you can read. The Bible talks about church. There's two words that it's talking about. It's talking about the universal church, everyone saved. If you have given your heart to the Lord, would you give God some praise? Come on. Okay, hold on. You are in the church, but that's only one word for the church. The other one is the local church. Like on Paul's missionary journeys where they went to Antioch. You've heard about the church of Ephesus, the church of Philadelphia, Laodicea, Thessalonica, the Corinth church, the church there, the letters of Corinthians. You can see in Galatia, there were several churches there. Usually, like, it wasn't necessarily brick and mortar back in those days, but it was buildings where they would meet in the temple courts, and then they would meet at home. So it's not just to be a Christian, it's to be in the church. And this is where I don't like the fact that we have brick and mortar to do it. But here's what I've noticed. Most people prefer to meet inside versus outside. And so I want you to see this is just a tool. This is not even where we do most of our life. Some of you, you came to the service this weekend. Let's say a church service on a Sunday starts at 10 o'clock. It would be normal for you to say, yeah, I'm going to church at 10. No, you're at church right now. We're always a part of church. There may be one component of what we do in a building, but I just want you to know, man, I would shut down the sound. I would paint this whole church in a plain color, and I would wipe everything away if it would cause you to not be comfortable where we are. Because God is not asking us to settle. He's asking us to go. Darren DeLaunt, a lot of our church members have gone over and over to the flooding there in Baton Rouge. And it's a major mess. Churches don't even have buildings anymore. Darren went to a church where they didn't even have walls. They had to knock out all the walls because of the flooding. And here they were having church without walls. And then they have air conditioning. And this is a month ago. It's hot in Louisiana. They didn't care. They were having church. Often wonder if you understand that the hope of the world is the church. And if we don't walk and live and move and see it that way, then we're going to be on the side of the road and everybody's going to be passing us by and it's going to be a discouraging thing. Number one, how does God get us to move? Number one, by showing us what he sees. By showing us what he sees. There's this one family. Could y'all look here for a minute? It's called the Thone family. Very comfortable family, very typical of somebody who is successful and happy. And so it's this man named Scott and his wife Meredith. He has one daughter named Grace Ann, another son named Tanner. Happy people, servants in our church. But they see this young man who doesn't have a place to live. He has a lot of family issues. It's a long story, but some of them, they just rejected him. I mean, from grandmother to aunt to mom, just a lot of people. He didn't have a home. They just finally said, we can't take care of you anymore. He was just without a home. And they were happy. And then the Lord started stirring their heart up. First of all, they looked over and they saw what God saw, like a need. And they said, hey, we'd like you to come stay in our house like for a night. And then it was a month. And then now you should talk to this family. They're so happy. They call him like their son. And they just love him. Recently, I found out that the father of that home and the son, this new son in the house had never been baptized. And they asked me to be a part of it. We sent them out and we got baptized. Forgive me for that Ohio State shirt. It was a mishap. But this kid, he's got like the hand of God on him. He's a major leader. He's encouraging the whole family, man. Just love it when somebody sees what God sees. Another way that we'll move is by when God shows us what he hears. What he hears. Let me tell you something real quick. Your eyes will lie to you. And so will your hearing. Have you ever heard something in another room, you went in there, and it wasn't anything? Sometimes you'll say, well, I see what God sees. I hear what he, but you don't. Harry Bates and I were playing golf one time, and this bird, is a true story. Ask Harry about it. All of a sudden, this bird says, Rick. It was like, what'd you say, Harry? He goes, I didn't say anything. Rick. He's like, what is that, Harry? Rick, Harry falls to the ground laughing. I thought it was someone calling me. It was a bird. Sometimes you're hearing it. It will not represent well on what God is really wanting you to hear. There's so many sounds in the world that we live in right now. But the voice of God, it's a whisper. It's not as loud as your issues. It's not as loud as your discouragement. It's not as loud as the victimization that might hit you after a bad week or a bad lifetime. It's a still small voice. And that's why we have to be still and know that He is God, to hear, just to hear what He cares about. My son Hunter, when he was born, he was colic, and he was crying and screaming a lot at night. And I remember I'd lay down, and Michelle would be sleeping like in the middle. I'd be like, how is you sleeping? Well, he's crying. So I didn't want to get up. I was trying to sleep. So I would just nudge Michelle, just kind of wake her up. And then she'd get up and say, hey, babe, what you doing? It was just all manipulation. What are you doing? Hunter's crying. Okay, we'll go get him. Make me some ice cream while you're out there. That didn't happen. The sound that is in your home that is driving you crazy at your work, the music you listen to, or the problems that you have, your relationships on social network, everything is just chaotic and much louder than this voice of God is saying, would you please hear what I'm hearing? There's so many times in the Bible that the Bible says that God heard their cry. It was about the orphans because they didn't have a home. It was about widows, those in prison, those that were hurting, those that were lost, those that were crying out to Him. And He's saying, would you please hear what I hear? And then the last one is by showing us to go and do our part. Okay. Here we go. Take your notes and just put them aside. If you've been taking notes, take your phones, put them down, whatever it is. We believe that next year, we do have a vision to plant 50 campuses, but we believe next year the Lord is asking us to do many of them. We've been working on this a long time, but I have a confession to make. One of the reasons why we've only been planting one church or two churches a year, which for a lot of people, that seems like a lot. It's mainly just been because I've been afraid. I've just been afraid of the vision. I've gotten comfortable myself. Listen, this church is plenty big enough for me. It's way bigger than I ever thought it would be. I would love to be able to tell you, yes, my leadership ability has just been able to grow a church. No, I really thought one day we would have 200 people and I could go fishing with somebody on Monday morning. And since then, there's just been year after year where I've wanted to settle and just slow down the vision, because when I see the enormity of it, the cost of it, the price, I'm 55 years old now. I just want to slow down a little bit. But recently I admitted it to our whole staff that I'm the reason why we're not growing at the rate that I think that God would want us to. And they're all thinking, man, I thought we were doing great. No, no, no. Because I believe that there's a chance, if we do this right, that over the next 10 years, Lord willing, now I don't know this to be true, that we could get to 50 campuses, which would mean we'd have to start 4 a year. Well, I think the Lord is stirring us up to do even more than that next year. So where are we going to go? Which one of you are going to come and help us? Well, we have the pastors. And let me just tell you, we never pick the next city. We pick the next leader. And they pick the next city. And we have some of the most integrous, humble, gifted leaders. And I'd love for you to meet some of them right now. Y'all come on out. Would you please give them a hand? Come on as they come out. Some of the new campuses that we have started. Come on, everybody. Y'all can do better than that. These are faithful, 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 faithful people. Faithful, faithful, faithful people.
All right. Okay. Sit down. God is good. On the end here, we have bold people. Because where they're going to plant their church. They're actually going to plant the church in Mayflower. And this is
This is a couple that's going to be getting married very soon, like in the month of May or so. Next year, they're engaged right now. Really love. You get around them a little bit, and there's way too much love going. I can tell you that right now. And but tell us, why in the world are you going to Mayflower? Is it because they don't wear skinny jeans there? What? I mean, what is the real reason? Why?
Hey, every good worship leader wears skinny jeans and don't let anybody
know they don't.
Different.
No, they don't. Okay.
Mayflower, I've never been so sure about the answer to this, and there's broken people there. Sometimes we can look at the Conway campus and we can look at the Little Rock campus and we don't even remember where we're driving through to get there. But the Arkansas God Sees says Mayflower is a people. They say there's a people that have needs and there's a people that have different needs than the campuses that we're at right now. And for that reason, I feel like Mayflower is going to benefit greatly from a relational church. And it's going to change the whole scope of the community.
I believe it. Blake and Ash. And here we have the betrayers. These faithful people leading worship. Abe and Sierra have been over all of our worship leaders pretty much for the whole state of Arkansas. And but he's trying to change it up on us. And so we're going to plant a church in Saline County, Benton and Bryant area. And Abe, who is an incredible worship leader, is going to go. Why? Why? Why are you going to go? Are you going to sing this answer, or are you just going to talk it through? Why are you going?
We're just going because Chad's going.
I think it better say this because I'm not there. That's why he's going.
Now, we've been friends with the Denmans for a long time, and we know we've actually talked about it. Actually, even before that, we always kind of joked that if they ever went and planted a campus, we'd definitely think about it. And so when they told us and we got asked if we wanted to go, we prayed about it, and it was definitely something we felt like God was telling us to do. And so we are ready to connect with people and just see what God does down there in that area through worship.
Will you remember us?
Yes.
You better. All right, we have the Denmans. And these are good people right here. Chad's been stepping up his game. Look at this brother dressed up here. He's looking good. But I'm going to tell you, this is a family. This is a Baptist family, which it's really hard for a Baptist to change. But they are willing to go, and I appreciate their skill, like their love for God, their skill with people. These are just good people. Chad, why are you leaving the comfort of your current campus to Saline County?
I think it has a lot to do with the moment that I pulled into a parking lot and I began to see people, and more than just their faces, I began to see those that had this countenance of just excitement, passion. I began to get excited for them. For those that had that countenance of just heavy, they were depressed, overwhelmed, my heart began to break for them. And it was a parking lot in Saline County, and my heart just aches and it breaks for these people. And I cannot wait to be able to bring a church there that is going to be able to have that moment in the presence of God, like those people are going to be able to have, because it's going to change everything for them.
Awesome. Kendall, are you going with them? Okay, all right, she's going. Okay, all the way, it's the Barnes family. Everybody say what up. And this is Bryn and this is Calvin. And they are going to be planting a church in BB, Arkansas.
That's right.
Tell us why you're going there, and also tell us where BB is.
Google don't even know.
Okay. Google can't find it. Siri says, no. What? I don't know.
No, listen, I grew up in BB, and to be honest with you, we didn't want to go at first. But the more we prayed, the more we spent time with the people in BB, we just fell in love. Just like Chad said, our heart just broke for the city. Heart broke for the people. And I remember hearing you saying one time that Arkansas was the kind of place where one person could make a difference. And we really believe that with God's help that we can make a huge difference in BB. Mm-hmm. And so now we're just so excited to be a part of what God's doing in BB, what God's doing in New Life Church, and we're just pumped.
Well, we love you, bro. I know you're going to do well. And for years, the Lord laid on my heart early on for us to have a campus in the inner city of Little Rock. But to find the right leader people that have strong ability and integrity. There's a lot of people out there like that, but also who have your DNA. And I'm just going to tell you, this is some of the strongest leaders I have ever met in my lifetime, and I am shocked that they're willing to work with us. I'm shocked by it. And so they're going to have, this is going to be different. In inner city, it's different than some of the areas that you might live in. And like our music is really white. Have you ever noticed that? And it's going to have some soul up in the inner city. So tell us about that. How are you going to do this? Why are you going there? Tell us about it.
Well, first on the music, how about hip-hop to opera?
Woo! However, do that?
Rick, we recognize there's some unique opportunities in Little Rock. There's some unique challenges. The people have been hurt a little bit by church. So we recognize that we have to bring a church that's focused on the kingdom of God, one that's not going to point to one family or one man, but one that's going to turn the people's faces to God. We know New Life Church is that church. And Jeremiah 29 and 11, we know the plans that God has for Little Rock.
Come on.
And we know New Life Church
come on.
Is in those plans.
This is Marcus and this is Ramona. This is the Elliott family. They are major leaders and I love them. Thank God for you. Okay, the Moslers. A lot of people know the Moslers. And I guess it was several months ago that Matt started speaking to me about an area where at first I thought maybe I didn't hear him right. And but as I started listening to him, and then they both started praying, and now it's been confirmed this is where they are going to go. And it's a place in Arkansas where if we do not go there, we're going to have to apologize to God. Because it is the most decrepit place in all of Arkansas. It's Pine Bluff. It's Pine Bluff. Those people need the love of God there. Somebody that will love them. And these two are that way. Matt, why Pine Bluff? I heard you got to be tough at the bluff. And
I'll tell you why. Because nobody, and I mean nobody in the entire state of Arkansas can cook as well as the people of Pine Bluff. Can I get a witness? No, I love Pine Bluff. I love these folks. And how many of you know that they got some issues in Pine Bluff? The more I hear about these issues in Pine Bluff, the more excited I get. The more I hear about the need in Pine Bluff, the more excited I get. The issues are not racial. They are not economic. They are not political. They are spiritual. There is a spiritual oppression in Pine Bluff. And the thought of bringing a life-giving, Christ-centered church to Pine Bluff in the Delta just lights my fire.
Whoa. Listen, while you're enjoying the clap, let me challenge you. Some of you, the Lord is going to stir your heart up to go and help with some of these. And we're going to have to send out like missionaries to go to Pine Bluff. And some of you, you can easily go and help at the downtown Little Rock campus. And we have to have willing vessels. Each one of these, whether it's BB, whether it's Saline County, whether it's in Mayflower, the Lord is going to stir some of your hearts up to go and help us be leaders there. Are y'all ready to pray for each one of these? Would you be willing to do it? I'm going to ask y'all to go to the floor, and we're going to pray for you. Anybody here that has just a desire to pray for any one of these, some of these you may not even know, but please just get out of your seat right now. Come on up to the front, and we're going to dedicate these church plants. Some of these churches will be planted in January. Some of them do not have a building yet, so it's going to be more like August. But these are willing vessels. And look, they're scared. I planted a church. I know it's intimidating. They need encouragement. So please, step out of your seat and get behind them, in front of them, wherever. And just rally behind. These are good, godly people. These people could pastor this entire church. I could hand them all of New Life Church right now and they could lead it. That's the caliber of people that they are. I just want you to see, as we pray for them, I want you to see what God sees. I want you to hear what God hears. I want you to feel what God feels, and then I want you to know that God is wanting you to go somehow you have to go. It doesn't mean you have to move, but you have to do your part. Let's pray for them and ourselves. Lord, we welcome you into these church plants. Lord, from time to time, we'll dedicate a little kid to you, and we'll pray that this child will grow up in the fear and the admonition of your name. But Lord, we've also birthed churches. With the Ark nationwide, 600 churches we've helped start all over America. And then campuses right here in Arkansas. I thank you, Lord, for the Florida campus that is going to be starting as well. It's not even here in this state. I thank you for the McManus family. I thank you for Clarksville, that campus there. The campus in Jonesboro, these places that haven't even been mentioned yet. But then also each one of these couples. Lord, we stand in front of you with a humble heart and we say, here we are, send us. And Lord, we do not want to go alone. We want to go with you and with some friends and some willing vessels. So I do want to thank you, Lord God, that you can stir up. You are stirring up the flame, the fire inside of us. It's like fire shut up in our bones. And we have to go because we do see what you see and we have heard what you hear and we do feel what you feel. And so we say, yes, sir. So, Lord, we dedicate each one of these campuses to you and those that are not even represented here now, and we ask that you help us. In Jesus' name we pray.